B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, May 21st, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news from over at the news desk with our news person, Sarah Skopic. That discussion is ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming news update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
The next 10 games appearing on the Sega Genesis Mini have been announced. Joining the previous 20 titles will be Mega Man The Wily Wars, Street Fighter II Special Championship Edition, Ghouls and Ghosts, Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle, Beyond Oasis, Golden Axe, Phantasy Star 4, Sonic Spinball, Wonder Boy and Monster World, and everyone's favorite game, Vector Man.
I'm excited for Vector Man.
There are some stuff on there that I honestly, even like Sonic Pinball, love that game. Never in a million years would have guessed they'd put it on there.
I gotta tell you something. For all of these like classic systems that come out, the NES, the Super NES Classic, all of them, there's not really been any of them that I've wanted until this one. This is the first one where I've actually been like, you know what? We're 30 games in. There's still going to be 10 more.
I'm impressed.
I'm into it.
But see, to me, at this point, like, what's left?
Yeah, man, what's missing? Last 10 games, what are we missing?
Do you think that they could get Maximum Carnage on there?
Oh, yeah, why not?
Well, it's because of the licensing. You've got two issues there because the soundtrack was done by Green Jelly as well. Like, you've got some issues there, but I would love to see that.
I would love to see Rocket Knight Adventures.
Boogerman, a pick-and-flick adventure.
There you go. Yeah, there's still some titles that are left off, but, man, the 30 that are on there, that's already worth the price of admission. I'm in.
The Nintendo Switch has now outsold the PS4 lifetime in Japan. Nintendo's hybrid handheld console has now sold 8.13 million units in Japan versus the PS4, which has sold just 8.10 million units.
Wow,
man. And how many years does the PS4 have up on the Switch now?
Five, six years now?
Yeah, that's been awful.
I'm kind of amazed that the PS4 has only moved 8.1 million units in Japan. I would have thought that number would be way higher.
That must mean the North American sales are insane. But keep in mind, they're a lot more of like a mobile gaming culture.
They're the handheld gaming place. They're constantly on the move, man.
That's true. I mean, I guess it's kind of like PC gaming, too. PC gaming over there just isn't what it is in North America.
And don't they also have the whole put it back in the box type culture?
Yeah, you're right. Adults don't play video games in Japan. Yeah, okay, that's fair.
The Epic Store is officially launched in China, and it came with surprisingly little fanfare. In fact, Epic chose to do a stealth launch, not marketing the arrival of the platform at all. One reason for this may be China's ongoing crackdown of video games in the country.
I thought this was a really interesting decision because a lot of times, you know, platforms like this, you know, really end up launching with a huge bang, especially with how much the Epic Store has really been able to capture so much of the attention here in the West.
Yeah.
You would think that they would make a really big deal about this, but
I can see the thinking like, hey, we know China is really wary about having video games, especially Western games, coming over into China.
Let's not rock the boat, but at the same time,
you're the Epic Game Store. That boat is going to be rocked by virtue of you being there.
But at the same time, it had to be cleared. They can't just flick a switch and all of a sudden
turn on. Yeah,
it's not like they did this under the table. Like maybe China won't notice.
Maybe they won't notice.
They had to get it clear. So why not have? Why not?
Although that said, again, maybe it was just a marketing decision. Hey, if we soft launch it over there, they'll do the marketing for us. It's not like we're going to have to push it.
Maybe.
following a walkout by Riot employees over forced arbitration in the contracts of current staff, employees gave the company until May 16th to change their ways or face more action. That deadline has come and gone, with Riot reaffirming that all future employees and employees who sign new contracts will not have forced arbitration. However, with litigation ongoing, they will not change the contracts of current employees. The ball is now in the developers' hands once again.
This is really interesting. Like, this is really interesting. We've now seen the walkout situation over, you know, the forced arbitration. Their deadline is coming back. I'm just really curious what the next step is.
I think they riot.
What? Oh, jeez.
Boo!
Boo!
I'm out!
Well, and that's the point, is they have a couple options. And even one thing that they could do, they could, theoretically, let's say, hey, okay, fine, if that's the way it's going to be, everyone on the staff demands a new contract now. We want to renegotiate contract now to get it up to date. Which, in the case of people who have current ongoing litigation, you know, they're going to have to resolve that first before that can happen. Right. But it is an interesting situation. I understand why Riot wouldn't want to make a change for people who are currently trying to sue them or would be able to. But at the same time, they kind of dug that grave themselves. Like, it's their fault that's happening.
In an interview about the current state of things at Sony's gaming division, CEO Jim Ryan talked about a couple of features of the upcoming PlayStation 5. One important takeaway from the interview was what he had to say about backwards compatibility. Quote, Sony expects backwards compatibility to be a real critical success factor for its next-gen consoles and thinks it's incredibly important.
So, I think that obviously the partnership between Microsoft and Sony is stealing a lot of the headlines here, but Sony is still very committed to, you know, their next piece of hardware that they're going to be putting out.
To the theoretically named PlayStation
5. Right, to the exactly.
They've actually showed off a little bit of the hardware sort of in a behind-the-scenes closed-door thing that somebody caught some phone footage of. They've got load times to down to negligible.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that at a lot of sources now. When they show the PS5 doing the load time, you're like, that was less than a second. At this point, you don't really even call that a load time.
And you know, really one of the things you know, that I think is very surprising is how, you know, reluctant Sony has been to engage in backwards compatibility
in generations
past. Yeah.
I mean, the PS3, obviously, was only on that initial launch model.
That's right.
With the PS4, they basically did away with it.
Exactly.
It is interesting for them to really kind of pull a 180 here, but I think what that is more of an overture towards cloud gaming and this idea of having your games anywhere you go. They understand the days of us putting discs in our seat in our game, our systems, is coming to an end.
I think that that's a good point, and I think that they have to do something to honor the digital purchases of the previous platform, because if people realize that, you know, the hundreds or thousands of dollars that they've invested in games is just going to be a dead end on that console, they're going to be really upset.
There was kind of I understand I have to buy the game again because now I'm getting it digitally. I'm moving away from my physical media. That's not going to fly this time around.
One of the biggest expenses for game developers when moving to a new generation of console is potentially having to remodel or develop a new engine to work with the next generation. Capcom has announced that their RE engine, the system used for Resident Evil 2 Remake, will be their engine going forward into the next console cycle.
Yes!
I mean, good news for Capcom. It'll save them a lot of money, and RE2 Remake was awesome.
It's gorgeous!
If it's able to upscale into the next-gen consoles, good.
I mean, and I've seen some real, like, good, you know, one-to-one animation capture footage that they use to do that.
Oh,
it looks like it's very competent software.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. Last week, Epic announced a mega store sale for their Epic Store platform. In the same vein as things like the Steam Summer Sale, the sale offered mega discounts on games and also $10 off any game that cost more than $15. So, my question is, because I keep seeing comments about this on Twitter, why is everyone so mad about it?
It is genuinely perplexing. Like,
it's baffling.
One of the things that I had read, too, was the ones that have $10 off, because two games had actually taken themselves off for the duration of this sale.
Yeah, Oxygen Not Included and Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2.
That, apparently that $10 off, actually Epic eats that. So you, as the game developer, aren't even necessarily losing any money on these sales.
Epic's out there trying to bribe its users.
Exactly. That's what it is. It's the fact that Epic came out with the most profitable video video game of all freaking times, and people are really upset about it for some reason. And you can like or dislike Fortnite, whatever. But the point is that people now have so much bad blood for Epic because of the success of that game. Epic is now the New York Yankees of video games, and it becomes fun to pile on and actively hate
Epic. How impaired is your ability for logic? If you look at a situation where Epic is going, listen, all of the money is going to go to the developers. We're going to take a hit on this sale.
And you get it cheaper.
And the consumers get it cheaper. I'm still mad about it. Like, what? How? Where? What's wrong? What synapse in your brain is not firing correctly to make you understand that nobody loses here?
When I saw the people getting upset about this, I was genuinely like, oh, okay, Epic must be forcing the sale on people. It's optional.
No, dude,
whether you want to do it.
Credit culture has been run amok, okay? And when it comes to social media, and especially in the gamer sphere, where people feel the need that they have to criticize this because of their hatred of Epic. But there is nothing wrong with this.
It's pro-consumer. Like, how does a pro-consumer move get twisted into Epic's trying to bribe its consumers?
We said this when the Epic Store launched, that inherently competition is a good thing, and Steam has had practically no competition now for nigh on a decade. These are the positive things that you see out of competition.
Steam.
You see companies kind of battle with each other for the consumer now.
You know what, Steam?
And you know what? Every good deal that you get on Steam from now on, you can thank the competition of Epic for that great price. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you one of those people who's really upset about the Epic Store? Let us know why you're upset.
We need to know why. I'm seriously confused.
Let us know on social media. Connect with us. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Right, becoming a centralized government. We'll tell you about it.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name is Dave Bender. So glad to have you locked in with us. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an eSports gaming update.
Oh, my God! It's over! It's over! He did it!
Heading for the dunk! And from the universe!
Into the
faster!
Oh, another one! Oh, the third! What is this?
eSports gaming update with Sarah Skopic.
Riot Games has announced they'll be forming a governing body for the collegiate scene of League of Legends. The framework will be similar to the various regions like LCS or LEC, but with some noted differences. College teams will not be able to operate as independently capitalized businesses with rights to their assets.
I think I get what they're going for here. I mean, the idea is with, like, the LCS, obviously, yeah, any money that your organization makes, you own the rights to those brands, you make that money. But you also pay $20 million for your franchise slot. Yep. In here, you don't pay money to get a franchise slot. You know, you're a college team in this division, but League of Legends maintains some creative control over your brand.
Well, and I think that this is kind of transformative for colleges that want to be able to get into the space, but don't really have a very good way to be able to figure out how, right? And I think, you know, partnering up with Riot really gives you exposure to the industry that esports has already been able to come up with organically on their own. And I think that that's really smart and insightful, because a lot of these colleges, if you just threw them in the deep end, I think that you would see a lot of what we're seeing in some of these franchise models where, you know, the investors or the owners of the team are overwhelmed. They don't understand the space, and then they try to get out of it.
Yeah, Contenders in particular. You got three Contenders teams now from the OWL sort of minor league that won't be fielding teams for the remainder of the season for, you know, a various number of reasons. But I also think this is brilliant, because this is going to be a way for smaller schools to be able to go out and be competitive in esports against teams that already have these big, huge sports apparatuses.
And in a game that matters, too. Yes. In a game that matters to the students, because, like, if you're forced into playing Smite and two-thirds of your, you know, kids don't care about Smite, then it's kind of a miss, isn't it? Yeah.
The commissioner of the LCS, Chris Greeley, has said the organization has completed their preliminary investigation into Echo Fox. The investigation began after Rick Fox announced his intention to leave the company following racist remarks from an investor. The commissioner has said there is no place in the LCS for behavior like that, and has given Echo Fox 60 days to remove the individual. Echo Fox has since stated they have been working with all due haste to remove the person in question.
This situation just gets crazier and crazier, and I understand that there's, you know, legal angling that you have to do to be able to remove an investor, but it seems like it almost seems like if we're at the end of the 60 days and this investor still isn't gone, I'm not going to be that surprised, but I'm also like,
nor am I going to be that sympathetic.
No, I'm not at all. But it just seems like, you know, listen, if you're at odds that much with the entity that you invested in, wouldn't you gladly take your money back and put it into something that you care about?
You would think so.
In addition to their tournaments for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate and Splatoon 2, Nintendo will be hosting a third tournament at E3 this year. In honor of the upcoming Super Mario Maker 2, Nintendo has invited four personalities from the Mario Maker community to compete in a series of challenges for the Nintendo Treehouse team.
I think this is really cool.
What a smart move from Nintendo.
Yeah, and I really like the fact that they're putting a lot of investment into sort of their competitive scenes, because previously they've been so hands-off with Smash in particular that it got to a point where the Smash community had to be completely 100% grassroots. I like the fact now that Nintendo is involved.
They're pretty hands-off with their entire creative community around their games. Yeah. They always have been. And I think that this is an interesting move, maybe about 5 years too late at this point.
Maybe.
But it's an interesting move, and I think one that will be hugely important for the enthusiasm of that creative community around Nintendo games.
Following a disappointing season, the Paris Eternal have dropped the roster of their Contenders team, Eternal Academy. They became the third Overwatch League team to drop their roster, joining the Florida Mayhem and San Francisco Shock.
Now, Norris, you were actually just talking about this a second ago when we were talking about, Riot forming, their own collegiate league. And this is a trend that keeps happening, and it's not unique to just Contenders or what we would kind of consider the minor leagues of esports.
The feeder leagues.
Right.
Yeah.
But we have seen investors and entities want to enter into the esports space, and I don't know if they're just not seeing the returns that they had thought or were promised that they would get, but they're looking to dump now that they're in, and hopefully, you know, all of these people are going to end up in organizations that know what they're doing, but there's as equal a chance as they won't. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing with this is it's particularly shocking because this was something that was mandated by Blizzard. They wanted a contender scene, so it is particularly jarring and concerning.
An ugly situation is developing as Fortnite star Tfue has sued the team he signed under FaZe Clan. In the lawsuit, he alleges that FaZe Clan has taken up to 80% of the profit from his sponsorship deals, barred him from taking on certain partnerships, encouraged him to do dangerous stunts, and encouraged him to drink underage. It also calls into question his ability to sign with another team in the future. FaZe Clan has fired back, disputing each claim, sometimes with video to show the contrary. No matter what, this is going to get very ugly.
Wow, this whole situation, this is something that we're obviously going to be paying very close attention to here at Checkpoint as it continues to develop, but there has been this kind of fraught relationship between organizations and performers, and now that we start seeing performers, not just in the form of esports athletes, but now streamers as well, being able to really capitalize on their social capital and being able to, you know, really make an appeal and go into business for themselves, I think that this is a dichotomy that is going to change. It has to change in the next 5 to 10 years.
And this could very well be the start of that as well.
This very well could be the opening salvo of that conversation. But there, it's no secret that there are predatory organizations out there that are ripping people off left and right from either their own profits or margins that they've been able to earn on their own. I just think that this is going to be an incredibly important conversation.
Just to clarify, we're not saying FaZe Clan is one of those organizations.
No.
That will come to light in the future. We'll find out.
But I'm just, there are other organizations that have come to light that it has not been pretty.
DreamHack has announced an all-female CSGO tournament at their upcoming DreamHack Valencia. The event will run July 5th through the 7th and will boast a $100,000 prize pool. Participating athletes will have access to dedicated player support, professional event facilities, and promotion throughout the tournament.
This is awesome. Looking forward to this. $100,000 on the line. It's a good prize pool. I'm excited.
Absolutely. I like it, and hopefully somebody performs well enough to get signed to a big team.
Another WCS event and another win for Serral. Last year's world champion is off to a great start this year, and that continued at WCS Spring over the weekend. After a strong run through the tournament, he closed it out with a 4-0 sweep of Special in the grand finals. For the win, he'll take home $20,000.
Congratulations to Serral.
The Finnish sensation takes another one down. Awesome.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. One of the very first stories we covered here on Checkpoint XP was in regards to the NCAA looking at getting involved with collegiate esports. Over 2 years later, we finally know how that's going to shake out.
Yeah, this really does feel like the conclusion of one of our very first big stories.
It does. Now, if we can just get a closure to the whole loot box story.
Well, we might be getting close. That too. So yes, it is officially announced the NCAA will not get involved in governing esports after years of discussion, talking to industry experts, and trying to figure out what that would look like. The NCAA Board of Governors voted unanimously to table the issue of governing collegiate esports indefinitely.
Woo! I think we missed
that bullet, boys. And make your money, collegiate esports players, because the NCAA is not interested in getting in on any of that.
And this is really important because that was the major issue.
Oh,
there's
totally
no way that the NCAA was going to be able to convince anybody who was of a professional level in esports to all of a sudden not play for money when they can just go and win cash.
And had they let them, then suddenly all the rest of your organization basically like, well, why can't we make money then here at the collegiate football level?
There you go. It's a slippery slope, and that was something that the NCAA was not willing to go.
I mean, we're going to roll the dice there.
Literally any news source covering this, I mean, the very first thing that comes up, NCAA's biggest concern was maintaining amateurism within the esports scene. It's just not feasible in the esports scene the way it is in other sports.
It's not because, unfortunately, and I think that this is a good thing, esports and esports athletes have figured out how to monetize their cachet.
Their brand.
Exactly.
Now, what I will say is this doesn't necessarily make the concept of amateurism and paying college athletes go away. If anything, I think there's going to be a lot of college athletes that look at this and say, you know what, maybe there's a way for us to figure this out ourselves.
What's the
too.
Difference here?
What's
yeah,
the
well,
difference?
I think the NCAA would have had even more problems answering those folks in other areas of sport and answering them with a clear conscience and being able to maintain their position yeah. on them not being able to get paid. But listen, we got to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. Do you think that the NCAA not getting involved with esports is a good thing or a bad thing? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, and we'll ask our social media followers what video game cheat code they will never forget, what's been burned into your memory. Join us Monday through Friday live at 5 p.m. Eastern over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.